Well, good morning, folks. Oh my, it looks like we're about 2 minutes late already. So, anybody that, man, that thing's even behind my watch. So we're really late today. I don't know which one of these two is. I try to go by whichever one gives me the greatest benefit. So if everybody can come in and have a seat, we'll get started. Was there still people out in the coffee shop when I was, or did they all come in?
No, they'll come in eventually.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you've given us, for the blessings you've given us. Father, thank you for the salvation that you have given us, those that are believers. And Father, those that are unbelievers, I pray, Father, you'll help us to be instrumental, Lord, in trying to lead them and direct them toward Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Help us, Lord, to be busy about that task. Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts for the message you have for us this morning out of this book of Romans. And Lord, what a great book it's been and is and will continue to be. So just open our hearts, Lord, and pray the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been moving through the book of Romans, and we're drawing close to the end. And I always hate to have a book end. I hate that. I've always enjoyed everything I've taught so much, and I hate to let go. But then the Lord opens up a new chapter when we start something new, and that's all exciting in its own realm. So, I guess the Word of God is without end. Okay, we're kind of shifting gears a little bit more this morning. We're going to be beginning in Romans chapter 15, and we'll begin with verse 22. And just kind of a quick recap here before we get started. So far, the Apostle Paul has given the Roman Church his theology, okay, and us, his theology, and that went from Romans 1:1 through 15:13. And we've gone beyond that now. And so that Romans 15:13 ended the actual epistle. And now he's taken a chapter and a half to wind her down, okay, to shut her down. The whole 15 chapters really was his doctrine. And the presentation of justification by Christ through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, the book of Romans has probably been the most extensive study in a single book about that topic, justification by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in chapter 15, beginning in verse 14 through 21, he gives them his heart. And we've just finished that last week. He's opening up his heart wide open. He's never been to Rome, but he's got some plans for the people at Rome. And we're going to see that coming up in the future, because Paul's got an agenda for these people. Here in Rome, and he's traveling. He wants to come see him. He's been trying to get there for years. He's been hindered, and we'll see that. But anyway, but he wants them to get to know him because he wants to use them to help him along in his future ministry. Paul's got his plans laid out and what he's wanting to do. And we're going to find out that a lot of times we have our plans laid out, but there's somebody else who's actually directing our plans, and that's God himself, okay? And Paul's trying to do things, and he's been hindered, and anyway, we'll get into that here a little bit more. He shares his own personal attitudes toward his ministry. He's opened up his heart. Why is he doing what he's doing? And just to let him get to know him, because he wants them to get to know him better, and he's going to spend some time with them. Not a lot of time he's planning on spending in Rome, but some time. We saw that Paul sees himself as a priest and a preacher and a pioneer. That's the three things we've finished up last week. We looked at how he views his ministry. He knew that it was to serve God within the framework of the will of God. Paul did everything he did, he always had in the back of his mind, and within the framework of the will of God. Lord, you're in control. You lead me. You direct me. I'm going to make plans, but you direct my plans and you direct my circumstances. He lived under the sovereignty of Christ. And folks, whether we realize it or not, we are too. And we're gonna look at that this morning. He did not need to be coerced into doing the things for the Lord. That was his greatest thrill. You didn't have to prod Paul out of bed in the morning to get him to go do what God's called him to do. He was raring to go. What an example, okay? And so with those thoughts in mind, we're going to begin in verse 22 this morning. And so we're going to read Romans 15, 22 through 24. And who would read those three verses for us? Delbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. Okay, and so this verse starts off, it says, "For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you." So Paul's been trying to get there for some time, but he's been running into obstacles, okay? Paul's ministry was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and that has been his calling, and he was well aware of that. And it says, "For which cause," it literally means for this reason, "For this reason, I have been much hindered from coming to you. I've been so busy doing the ministry that God has called me to do." And we studied that through verses 20 through 21. And he took this missionary journey when he went up to Illyricum. I think that's close. Couldn't even start to say it now, but I've been learning how to say it a little bit better. "I've been so busy preaching to the Gentiles and evangelizing that I have been much hindered in coming to you. I'm trying to get there, but I got so much work to do while I'm here, and I can't leave what I'm doing. I'm wanting to get to you, but I got to take care of this business that God's called me to do up here." Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23.
What chapter?
10. Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, and you'll find that on page 784. Jeremiah 10, 23. We're going to see some interesting things here. So our page is still flipping. I think they've stopped. Okay, who would read Jeremiah 10:23 for us? Not everybody won't. Okay, John?
"O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps."
Would you read that again for us, John? You read it again. Let this soak in just a minute, okay? Okay. A lot of times we think we're running our lives. We're the ones in control. And this really hit me, and I'm probably run 2 or 3 or 4 months ahead, you know, in my as working this. I work ahead and then I come back and review and review and review and pray and review and revise the revisions and all that. And I have read these portions of scriptures many times, but it never hit me like it did. And it really hit me yesterday afternoon when I was reviewing the lesson for today again, okay? That says the way of man is not in himself. What a statement. It is not man that directs his steps, is what that's saying. Man doesn't really direct his own life because, let's face it, we cannot control our circumstances. We cannot control our environment. We have nothing to say about what goes on around us. We do not control our lives. God does. And as we go through this, I'm just going to ask you guys, okay, this next week, I'd like you to set back. I probably should finish this before I say this. All right, let me just hold that thought. Let's move on. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." And I put behind here the word Selah, okay? There's a lot of times you see in the Psalms, a verse will end with the phrase Selah. And that word Selah just means pause. Okay, God, something profound has just been said. And the word Selah means pause and dwell, ruminate on this. Think about it. Think about it, okay? So we're going through this. This next week, I would like for you to take some time to pause and look over your life, from all through your life, and just see the providence of God working in your life. A lot of times we talk about how God's providence was leading in Joseph's life or Esther's life, you know, these different places. In Esther, I think it's Mordecai, I believe it was, as a guy that says, perhaps it was for this time. Perhaps God has brought you into the world for this time or for this moment, because she's getting ready to make a plea before the king to save the Israelites, because he's just made a decree to destroy them all, and it works. And anyway, but I want you to look at how God has led and directed in your life, and it's encouraging, to do that. Paul says, "I wanted to come for a long time, but God has hindered me because of my ministry to the Gentiles. I've been so busy working with this, I can't get to you. But I'm still working on it. I'm trying to get there." God had providentially been controlling his life. A classic illustration of this is Joseph. When sold into slavery by his brothers, Joseph eventually winds up being his brothers' earthly saviors. He saved him from starvation, his whole family. And yet it all started off with him being sold into slavery. And yet again, Joseph said, it wasn't your doing. It's all part of God's plan. God has been leading all through my life. Another classic illustration is Esther. And when a decree goes out to slaughter all of her people, she is in a vital position to save the Israelites. God's providence, okay, leading in these people's lives. He's leading in Paul's lives. Paul's talking about it here. And God, by controlling all the elements of history, brought about his will. And he's doing that in our lives as well. We always think about the greats, in the Bible. Hey, God, we see how he's working in their life, but we don't see how he's been working in our life. And yet it is every bit as real in each and every one of our lives as it is in theirs. Because God loves us just as much as he loved them. And he's as concerned about us and our welfare and our well-being, And again, it's been through the good times and the bad times, the good things and the bad things. God is directing, he's orchestrating his plan in each and every one of our lives. And if you stop and think about that, and God has got a purpose for us, for me, for you, and to see God directing and to know that God is personally directing in our lives just like he did in Joseph's. And I mean, all of a sudden I'm thinking, wow, I want you to think about it. I want you to ruminate on that. Chew your cud on that a little bit this week, all right? But Paul knew what it is to function within the realm of God's providence. And that is so wonderful. There's times we just have to let go. God, this thing is out of my hands. I can't fix it. I can't do anything about it. I just got to commit it to you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm just asking you to do your will in my life. You've been directing all along, and Lord, you're doing a good job. There's some times I'd have done things different, but I know your ways are better than mine, and so I just trust you, and I'm just going to yield to you and to your leading. If we're striving to do God's will, we don't have to have any anxiety. I wish I could learn that. I wish I could learn it. I could stand up here and say it, but then to live it, that's a whole different ballgame. But I'm Lord's working on me. He keeps chipping away. He's got a long ways to go yet, but he's working on it. We can just trust that God will order everything the way he wants it to be done. Paul says, I was hindered, but that's all right. We need to have the same attitude. Something good happens in our life, something bad happens in our life. God, you're in control. Your ways are higher than mine. You don't make any mistakes, Lord. Okay, and I'm content to let you lead and direct in whatever way you see fit. And I want to yield to that. Now, that takes time, effort, and energy, and sometimes we win the battle, sometimes we lose. Been on both sides. If the Lord wanted to hinder me, that's just as well as if the Lord wanted to send me. I accept his providence. That's Paul's thinking. That can be true of us too. If we are diligently seeking to serve the Lord, our attitude should be, I only want to be where God wants me to be. Lord, I just want to be in your will, whatever you want. And I want to yield that to you. And I'm going to do my best to stop fretting, getting frustrated, getting all uptight. Lord, and that'll bring a peace of mind to you, to us. Okay, I shouldn't say you, to us. So, moving on to verse, back to Romans. And in verse 23, Romans 15, get all these pages out of my way here. Romans 15, 23, it says, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Paul starts off here. It says, but now having no more place in these parts. Is what he's saying, okay, I've been evangelizing all this area up here, okay, but I've finished my course. God, now it's done. Now I'm ready to come to you at last. Okay, another facet involved in Paul's ministry and ours, and that is planning. Paul always had a plan. And folks, we need to be planning our next steps. You know, we need to have a game plan. And now God may alter that, but we need to be planning, trying to move forward. What is my next step? Okay, as far as, living for the Lord, serving the Lord, my next step in anything. But Lord, I want you to be in control. I want you to lead and direct. But now, that verse starts off, but now. After at least 15 years of labor, the church was founded in that part of the world, and the church was strong, and Paul had finished his work there. Now he's getting ready to come to Rome. All Paul's hindrance is now in the past. His work is done here. Why? Because I have taken Christ everywhere that I was supposed to go. I did it. I finished that course. And now it's time to move on at last. Back in verse 19, it says, all the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum. He was way over in the area of Greece, trying to get to Rome. I've covered all the ground that the Lord wanted me to cover. There's no sense of staying here any longer. Now, while it is wonderful to trust providence, that is no excuse for no planning at all on our part. So, Pastor, plan on a sermon next Sunday morning. Have a plan, okay? Have plans. We're moving on. You know, God may switch that, but that's all right. It's all right. Okay. And again, just Pastor Post, he had a plan. Founded this church 40 years ago. Well, you know, it's got to be tough to be a college-age kid, scared plumb to death, not wanting to move to Kansas. You know, of all places, God, not Kansas. Okay. He and Roberta, I mean, two young kids coming up here, starting from scratch. They had nothing to fall back on. Started off in the 4-H, or something to do with the 4-H, the county fair, something like that. What?
We literally built that way, not Kansas. If we're from Nebraska, surely he wants to start a church in Nebraska.
Yeah.
We drove all over Nebraska.
Okay.
Nothing opened up.
Okay. Okay, and so God, I mean, just the very thing we're talking about here. And you can look and say, okay, God, it's Kansas. I don't want Kansas, but okay. And now look, here, we're here because of that. Two young people, college age, just wet behind the ears. In fact, the truth is we'll never really experience God's providence unless we get some plans for God to work on. We need to formulate some plans. We need to have a sense of direction and then start moving, and then God will start opening and closing doors. And I say, Lord, give me the wisdom to walk through the doors you've opened and the wisdom not to open a door that you've closed. And I think I've been on both sides of the fence there. So, Paul had plans. In verse 22, Paul tells us that he had planned to come but was hindered. But at least he had a plan. He planned to visit Thessalonica. Okay? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, let's read verses 17 and 18. And who'd read those two verses for us? Well, I'd say, Royce, I see that hand, but Royce is not here. Delbert.
But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us.
Okay. You notice that Satan hindered us. Well, a lot of times we say that, you know, Satan hindered us. But you know, at the same time, Satan can only go as far as God will let him go. You know, and so even though Satan was hindering him, and Satan thought he was winning the battle, God was still directing and leading, okay? And again, I've said this so many times, but there's a lot of times the old devil, he's down in the basement, he's shoveling coal into the furnace, you know, heating up the fire, heating up the pressure that we're living under, you know, and he's a shoveling like mad, trying to get it hotter, 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 but yet God's upstairs and he's running the thermostat, okay? And Satan can only go as far as God will let him go, and we know that from the book of Job. And what an example that is there, and it's so comforting to know that even though it looks like the devil's beating us all up and looks like the devil's winning the victory, folks, God is still controlling that thermostat. And the devil can only go as far as God will let him go. Now, God will give Satan some leeway. You know, he lets Satan buffet Job. And, you know, but, you know, Job wanted to take his life. But God said, no, you can do anything to him you want to, but you cannot take his life. And folks, there's comfort in that. God's still in control, even though it looks like we're getting beat to a pulp. God allowed Satan to hinder them from reaching Thessalonica. But there was more than just Paul. I guess Paul had a group of people about everywhere he went. And a lot of times we think he's traveling alone. There was always people accompanying Paul for the most part, most of the time. God is not the victim of Satan, nor are we. God is still in control. God allowed Satan to hinder his ministry for a divine purpose. In Romans 1:13, don't turn there, but it says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was prevented thus far in order that I might have some fruit. And by that it means that I might win some souls to Christ among you as among other Gentiles. Satan hindered me, but even though he was hindering me, I was still bearing fruit. I was still leading souls to Christ. I still had an ongoing ministry. even though I'm trying to do one thing and being held back. I'm still at work. I don't just quit. I don't roll over and play dead. I keep trucking. What an example. We have to make some plans for God to adjust them. And He does it so wonderfully. God leads and directs in our life. Chew on that cud this week, okay? Trusted in the providence of God is no excuse for a lack of planning. We need to have an agenda. We need to be trying to move forward, be striving. Striving to do better. No matter what it is, read my Bible more, pray more, start up a kid program in my home. Whatever. There are a lot of people who just want to sit back and say, well, we're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead. That's a poor excuse for laziness. Folks, that's not my words. That was another guy's words. I just copied it down. But I think it is, just say, okay, I'm just going to sit back here, twiddle my thumbs, and wait for the Holy Spirit to lead. No, we need to be making plans. We need to be working. We need to be having an agenda, moving forward. We can believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit, but effective ministry doesn't just happen without very careful planning and strategizing. We need to be planning. I'm planning on teaching Sunday school next week. It may not happen, but I'm planning on it, And I'm planning on, when I'm done here, I get at this particular time, I'm planning on we're going to go back through evolution and creation. Again, I think we need to do that. It's the first thing that I taught when I began teaching here. And it's probably my favorite topic. It's my sugar stick. Although I used to say that definitely now. There's so many other things now. The book of Daniel, the book of Romans. I got all kinds of sugar sticks in this Bible. I love teaching them all. I hate to leave this book. So I'm planning. God may change the plans. Okay, Lord, so be it. Yeah.
I think there's a proverb that says, man devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
I think we're coming to that just a short time. You are exactly right.
It's like we got to move and then God will steer us.
Yep. He just taught the next portion of the lesson here. So, yeah, very good. It's wonderful you can pull those things out of memory. Yeah. So, in fact, my very next thing to say, okay, Proverbs 16 says, man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. So, boy, you're right on target today. He needs to be up here teaching his class. Yep. And having a great desire these many years to come to you. The verse went on to say that. I better get back in Romans here. I'm still in Thessalonians. Okay. And having a great desire these many years to come to you. Paul wasn't going to move on till he'd done his work where he was. Paul's going to finish the task. Folks, that's a great principle. You might have other things on your agenda, but if God's leading you to take care of this business, finish this first before you move on. And a lot of times it's kind of hard to hang on to something when we're excited about moving over here. But yet we're to be diligent in finishing the task at hand. That's a wonderful insight into the character of Paul. Many years, it says, he's been waiting. Paul could set duty before desire. And that's not easy. A lot of times we have our wants, our desires and things. We want to be doing this, but we're stuck over here. And yet we want to move on. And yet we need to finish the task at hand before we move on. He had the self-discipline to do the difficult task at hand and set the dream aside until God in his providence made it possible. How fully do we cover the ground that we've covered? Not how far do we reach? That's a good question. How effective have we been in completing the task God has called us to do? or we want to jump ahead and skip to something else. And not how many, but how complete and how effective is our ministry. And folks, we've all got a ministry. God's given us all talents. They're all different. We all have different, the body's made up, arms, legs, feet, livers, all kinds of things. We're all different part. But we're supposed to be doing something for the Lord, all of us. Not just the pastor. Verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. Okay, Paul has interjected another thing here. Paul just now tells him, I'm actually planning on going to Spain after I come to you. You can see how Paul's got his plans laid out. In Hebrew, the Hebrew word for Spain, I guess, is Tarshish. I'm quoting somebody else. I'm no expert on this. That's where Jonah tried to go. Paul's going to go. He's planning. He wants to go to Tarshish or to Spain, anyway, to Spain. I want to take a journey to Spain because Spain has never been evangelized. So there's Paul's plan. He's laying his heart out to these people. When I do take my journey to Spain, I trust to stop and to see you along the way. So Paul said, okay, I'm going to come to Rome. But I want to go on to Spain, and we're going to find out that Paul wants to spend some time there. He's wanting to raise some funds and money and some help to carry on his ministry on to Spain. Rome is a stopping off point on the way to an unevangelized field, and that was Spain. So we can see Paul's desire here. Paul was not interested in building on another man's foundations. His call was to be a church planter to start. He's like an evangelist. You know, an evangelist, a lot of times, we've had revivals, you know, with evangelists. Evangelists come and they're here for a week, 2 weeks, whatever. In the olden days, they used to go 2 and 3 weeks. Now today, we get 3 days in and that's maxed out. But an evangelist, yes, sir?
Evangelist Tom Farrell used to say of evangelists, they blow in, they blow up, and they blow out.
Yeah. An evangelist has a whole different mindset. They have no intention of staying, but they're here to try to encourage, to build up the church, get it going, get it motivated, get it moving, and then they move on and do the same thing, and then the pastor comes in, and then he can kind of pick up with a newly motivated crowd and hopefully doing bigger and better and greater things for Christ. And so they've all got different calling, okay? And so Pastor Ernstberger, he's here to stay. He's okay to build on what's already been laid. And that's, we need them all. And I'm so thankful for it. Yeah, Paul was not interested in building on another man's foundations. He had the call of a missionary to found a church, get it started, get it going, get it growing, and have somebody else come in, and then he's going to go on and start another church. Called church planters in today's lingo. The verse goes on to say, "For I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherward by you." And see, Paul's never met these people. You know, he's given them, his epistle, all the theology and stuff, and he's been tough on these people. You know, I mean, there's some times he's preached some tough stuff, or wrote, he didn't preach it, he wrote it in a letter. In other words, I want to see you and use you as a beginning point to launch this new ministry into Spain. And I would like you to support me when I go to Spain. That's what he says. I need help. I need finances. I need manpower. I need equipment. I need, whatever materials he needed. And so he wanted to establish himself doctrinally with them. That's what he did in the first 15 chapters. He's establishing himself doctrinally so they know where he stands. And that's why he wrote this great portion of the book, okay, the first 15 chapters. He wanted to establish himself personally with them, and that's why he gives them his heart. Right now, he's given him his heart. He's pouring it. So they get to know him. Know what makes Paul tick. What are his innermost desires and feelings? Just to get to know him. And hopefully to fall in love with his ministry and what he's doing. And be willing and ready to help. And so now Paul's pouring out his heart before he gets there. He wanted to establish himself with them by fellowship. I want to come and be with you, spend some time with you, get to know you. You get to know me better. And then get support from them on his way to Spain. And the verse goes on to say, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. In other words, I want to stop. I'm going to try to take an offering, a collection while I'm there with you guys. And then I want to use that support that I gained from you to be able to move on towards Spain. And notice the word brought, and be brought on my way thitherward by you. In other words, as I'm going on to Spain. It's a very interesting word, this word brought. It is a technical term meaning of furnishing an escort and all the necessary supplies to accompany someone setting out on a missionary journey. So I want to take a collection. There's going to be some different needs and stuff that I have, and I'm hoping to have you guys supply me with this because, you know, I'm running out of money, and I need help to move on in my ministry, but I feel like God has called me to Spain. I'm coming to do deputation for support from you and to get an escort from you to go to Spain. He was going to take a missionary offering and carry the financial resources and the travel supplies from the believers in Rome. That word appears several times in the New Testament, this word brought, because there's a lot of times, and we will see a lot of times when somebody like Paul moves on from one place, there's others travel with him to go along and to help him along the way. And it wasn't just that they sent him out alone. You know, give him a handful of money and say, okay, you're on your own. No, they accompanied him. Some went with him. They ministered along with him. They were his helpers. And we're going to really see a lot of the helpers when we get into chapter 16. And we're not there yet. Supplying all the financial and the physical needs, plus escorting someone to a mission field. That's what that word brought means. That verse 24 goes on to say, if first I be somewhat filled with your company or your presence. Paul says, I want to come, spend some time with you, get to know you, fellowship with you. First and foremost, I want to be mutually comforted together with you. I want to share some spiritual fruit. He wants them to catch the vision of his heart. It's what he's doing here. He wasn't thinking of a few days, but he wasn't thinking of a few months either. He wasn't planning on staying in Rome long, but he was going to stay there for a short period of time. We don't know how long that was. It was long enough time to be refreshed and to solidify an intimate relationship with them. And then to gather support from them so that he could be brought along his way to Spain. That's Paul's thinking. By the way, as a footnote, there's no evidence that Paul ever made it to Spain. No evidence. You know, that was his plans, okay? But again, God is directing. But Paul's got a plan. Paul's moving forward, and then God can open and close doors as you're moving. But you can't steer a ship that's anchored at dock. Can't steer it. You got to be moving. If you're moving, God can steer. Can you mute me? I'm glad he's quick on the draw. How about us? How does this relate to us? Are we making any plans? Do we lean on the providence of God? Are we doing that in our own lives personally? Those are characteristics of ministry within the will of God. We need to be asking God to channel us down the path He has chosen for us to walk as we live out our daily lives. Lord, use me, whatever way you want to use me. And again, give me the wisdom to know open door and a closed door. Give me wisdom, Lord. I want to be available, Lord, to be used by you. You direct my steps. It's in your hands. May every one of us know what it is to see the providential hand of God moving in our lives and ordering our circumstances. I truly believe that God wants me here teaching Sunday school. I believe that, you know. And, you know, I scared to death when the fellow pastor said, okay, you can start teaching Sunday school. I thought, oh boy, now what? Now what? I was hitting the panic button. Okay, any questions or comments? We're out of time. We got a half a minute. Man, I'm... Okay. Yes, John.
A quick, short testimony. I've been on both sides of not giving God credit or knowing what God's doing, and the other side of believing that He has a purpose for me, and me recognizing it. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's a real blessing.
Yep.
And I believe in this life, if we give God the credit and want to follow Him in this life, we'll be blessed. Mm-hmm. And I believe it will be rewarded. We will be rewarded in heaven. But if we don't recognize it and don't give God credit, you know, what can God do except plan our life anyway?
Yep. Yeah.
But God, I believe, still used it.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
If you go to Proverbs chapter 16, which you got into a little bit, Jim, in verse 1 through 3, says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And the execution, in other words,
mm-hmm.
He will help you decide whether to fulfill it or not.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we commit to the Lord that your will be done, then things will be done correctly. If we don't do that, your mouth will just open the stick and let the water run down the drain.
Yep. Good point. Excellent point. Yeah. And folks, it is a good feeling to feel like I am being used of God right now. That is a wonderful feeling, you know, it is. And I'm where God wants me to be. And we need to ask God to direct. Okay, our time is up, so we need to close the word of prayer. Thank you guys for showing up. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for, oh Lord, this book. Thank you. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this instruction book you've given us. And Lord, how rich it is. And Lord, help us to be at work. Be thinking, be planning, and Lord, and we just pray that each and every one of us would allow you to use us as a channel, Lord, to fill whatever purpose you have for us, and help us, Lord, to do it with zeal and with enthusiasm and with thankfulness. And Father, we're just we're so grateful for these lessons that we're learning about Paul and just the examples. And Lord, just help us to live by it. And Lord, it's a growing process, and it's we continually learning. We're continually learning. And Lord, we're thankful. I just pray, Father, that you'll be with Pastor this morning as he brings our message. Speak to us, Lord. And again, help us to learn and to grow, to apply. Lord, to live it out. And Lord, just to be available to be used in whatever purpose that you want us to be in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.